What do you get when you have one voiceover girl?
Oh, and me. That makes two voiceover girls.
Okay, when you have two voiceover girls, separated by one pond and two perspectives.
I know. You get the Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast.
That's right. Let's listen as Rami and Jessica share their journey into the voiceover industry. Hi, welcome back to the Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast.
Great to be back. So what do we have in store this week?
This week, we're going to be speaking with more VO friends about their experiences and their insights about finding work in voiceover and pay-to-play or casting sites. First up, Jason. So tell us about your process for getting work, Jason.
Well, as I said before, I am kind of in my early phases of it. I do have some agents. I do have some that are, I can't remember the exact term for it, and I keep forgetting the term for it, but they're not technically my agent, but they send me auditions. And so I get some of those as well. I'm on pay to plays, and I also do direct marketing. So a lot of it is trying to balance that time between the auditions that I currently have access to versus the ones that I want to have access to. And sometimes my time just focuses on the auditions. And then when I'm done with the auditions, you know, obviously I'm doing my editing process and then I'm sending them all out, getting everything done. And then if I have extra time, then I'm trying to reach out to other people through direct marketing, through emails, going through my marketing thing to make sure I'm following up on those that I've reached out to before, but haven't heard from. And I'm slowly starting to get into the LinkedIn game. My LinkedIn game was very poor.
And so Mine still is. Don't feel bad.
Yeah. I'm still working on it too.
Yeah. But I'm trying to get my LinkedIn profile better. So when I do reach out to more people, I look like a little bit better.
Do you know how to use LinkedIn to promote your business?
Yeah, I do. I've watched a lot of Tracy Lindley's classes. She's terrific with LinkedIn. I am also working with another marketing. I've taken Mark Scott's marketing playbook. So he has a focus on LinkedIn there as well. I'm currently working with Angel Birch from VOX class, and she has really kind of helped a lot with gone in there and looked at my LinkedIn profile. Okay, this, and this, you should probably change. And so I actually did a lot of changing to my LinkedIn profile just in the last week. And I already feel like it's much better than it was, you know, even a week ago. So I'm still in the process of getting my demos in a video format. Because for those that don't know, if you're on LinkedIn, you can't just take your audio demos and just pop them on there and say, here they are. They have to have a different format to them. They have to be in a video format. So I'm in the process of working on that. I'm learning how to do that as I go. I think I'm using Filmora is the one that I chose to go with, and just kind of figuring out how that whole thing works and not make it look like I just learned it yesterday.
It's relentless, isn't it? There's always so much to do. You could do one thing and then there's another and then something else comes up. Just goes on forever.
So it sounds like you've got sort of a mix. Your mix sounds really similar to everyone else, like where we're, you know, marketing, pay-to-plays, agents, you know, like pretty similar.
What's your experience been of the different pay-to-plays that you're with?
Been mixed. I can't say that all of it has been due to which pay-to-plays I was on. I will say probably a lot of it is I really started pursuing the pay-to-plays about a month or two before COVID hit.
Oh, right when everybody was on there.
Exactly. And I landed my first job before COVID, and I decided I was going to reinvest into one of the pay-to-plays by moving up a level. Well, when I did that, I saw the difference for about a week or two, and then COVID hit. It changed everything. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden, the level that I was at was now all of a sudden a bit different. Some of the pay-to-plays I've had better experience on some than others in terms of auditions. There's a couple of, I don't want to call out any, because obviously you don't want to do that, but there's some that I won't be renewing with that I renewed with. I went all in on pay to plays. I probably shouldn't have, but I was at a point where I really wanted to get increase the volume that I was going out there, getting exposure and mm-hmm. auditions. And so I felt like at the time, the more I could get exposure to that, if I've got more auditions, I can throw out more, put more out there. I've had more experience on some than the others. I will say there were specific ones that I really like. I like, for instance, I really like Bidalgo. Mm-hmm. I like what Armin's doing over there. And I will say my luck on that end hasn't been great, but I will say I like the way that he does things. So my experience with pay to plays is mostly some of it's been down due to COVID, but I have noticed kind of things starting to uptick a little bit more. So mm-hmm. probably somebody's experience with pay to plays today would be much different than mine was a year ago.
How many pay to plays did you join?
I joined, probably five. I wasn't kidding when I said I went all in. I would probably advise against doing that. That's one of those things I've learned as I've learned from my own mistakes. So I probably wouldn't have done that in the future.
Is that because that's too many to be good at, or it's just not worth it?
It wasn't actually worth it for me. There are some where I'm just not seeing auditions that it's just not worth. I mean, the amount of money that they ask for membership, and then, there's a specific one in mind that I know other voiceovers have talked over in the past, and I've maybe seen one audition in the last month and a half. And wow. I'm like, that's not worth the price of admission.
So, no kidding.
So I will not be renewing with them in specific. And then there's one other one that wasn't, it marketed itself as a pay to play, but I will say I haven't noticed a lot of voiceover stuff on it. And, it's not like the normal ones that you would normally hear about. It's kind of one of the lesser ones, but so there's some of them that I've kind of learned about, like, okay, that's not exactly what I expected going into it. But the main ones like VO Planet and Bodago and Voice 123 and all those, I think they're ebbs and flows just based on, where things are in the industry. And, like I said before, they seem to be picking up more now that things are starting to get out of that full lockdown mm-hmm. And more, at least that's how it is in the US. I don't know how it is, Romy, over there, but I mean, it seems like the jobs just seem to be upticking a little bit more. I still think it's going to be another month or two before things are really starting to go in full force.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the change, as we start to reopen. Are we going to see that people are going to stick with voiceover, or are we going to start to find that there's a drastic decrease in voiceovers competing for jobs?
Yeah, I think also, I think it's going to be a downtick more than I see an uptick.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people are getting into it because they want to find other sources of income.
Mm-hmm.
And now that things are starting to go back, I think some of those people may make that decision. I mean, I'm sure there will be plenty that will be like, I'm seeing some positive results from this. I might keep going with that. Mm-hmm. But I think less and less people are going to be seeking it out than that were doing it in the last year.
Right.
But yep. That's purely opinion. It could totally change. Who knows what's 2021 is going to bring. Hopefully better than last year.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. More and more production companies too are back up and running. That was a big thing. And even ones that I was directly marketing to, a lot of production companies, I noticed that their social media game was going down really big. I don't know what you were noticing, but a lot of times I'd reach out to production companies and they hadn't really been doing anything on social media or any kind of direct reaching out till pre-COVID. And it's like been sometimes some of them over a year. And I don't know if that means that their business just didn't make it, or if they're just kind of shutting down shop until they're able to kind of get back out there. And then certain ones that I was directly emailing to are just like, you know, we just don't have much right now, you know, which is to be completely understandable. Yeah. And so, you know, I think hopefully, you know, I'm really hoping that those companies that are, you know, they're kind of like us up, you know, they got their own business going, and hopefully that they were able to make it out okay and keep going.
And, you know, I, even from like my own perspective as a business owner that owns a different type of business, you know, I have escape room games. I usually marketed myself like crazy, but things are ever changing. And it's like in 2 week cycles that we know what's going to happen. And so I didn't feel comfortable doing a huge marketing push to try to get people to come and do the escape rooms, because I didn't want to book them, have them pay, and then have to go and cancel on them, which is a really negative experience. And, you know, and I'm sure that there's other companies that are kind of dealing with the same thing where they're like, gosh, I'd love to market. We need the business, but I feel like I'm going to market just to be shut down again.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah.
You mentioned you did some direct marketing. What was the response rate like for that?
I don't have a particular percentage. I do know that after I started taking classes, I saw an uptick in terms of the amount of emails that were getting opened. That was the first thing that I noticed, is that I was getting more and more opened, just, I think, because I changed my subject and I made it more relevant to what I was doing. The amount of responses I got was, I can't say for sure my percentages. I do know that I had pretty good feedback from people. Now, I think another thing that would be important to include in this is that when I reached out to people, I didn't just reach out to them a single time. And so, you know, when you're reaching out to people, I can't emphasize the importance of reaching out to them again. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously I would wait some time before doing that, at least a week. And, you know, there were many times I probably got at least half of the responses back just from responding to them a second time.
Mm-hmm. Being persistent is the key thing with direct marketing.
Yeah, it's being persistent. It's that fine line of being persistent but not being a pain in the behind.
Harassing people,
you know,
right?
Yeah, because you don't, you know, then they're like, oh, this guy again. All right, well, yeah, he's just going to be a trouble. I don't want to deal with him.
Right.
So, yeah, I always tried to be, you know, nice to them and realize that, you know, I think if you're very flat about, you know, if you're going into it with your intentions in mind, your chances of getting a feedback on an email are going to be so much less than, you know, and a lot of times I just said something nice about them. I just found something that I liked and I told them, you know, I really enjoyed this video that you did. I hope you guys are making it through COVID okay. And, you know, a lot of times I just got responses like, oh, thank you very much. Yeah, we're doing all right, you know. And, but so a lot of times it's not even a case of, you know, oh yeah, by the way, here's an audition for you. It's just a case of hearing back from them. I'll say not a lot of them have been like, you know, I have gotten some auditions from the people that I've directly reached out to, but more times than not, it's just been kind of like, oh, thank you. That was nice of you to say. We saw your demos. We liked what you got, you know? And so it's just a case of, you know, just getting that dialogue going. And it's a dialogue that wouldn't have existed if I hadn't reached out to them. So, you know, I've gotten a lot of just feedback from people, you know, it may not necessarily been job related to a voiceover job. I would say probably the percentage of those would be fairly low, but just from people responding to emails that I'm sending out, which is really the key. And I would say, yeah, it was more than I expected it to be.
Well, developing relationships is the key thing anyway. And by making these connections, you're developing a really good foundation.
Yeah. And the big thing I've learned about marketing is it's not about getting your business out there. It's about getting a relationship with the people.
Mm-hmm. And when you do your follow-up, do you use something? Is that like a, you know, are you using like a CRM database or?
Yes,
something?
I do have a CRM. If I didn't have a CRM, I don't know what I would be doing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so hard to keep track of all that, especially if you reached out. The more people you reach out to, the harder it is to keep track of that.
Yeah.
And without a CRM, it would have been virtually impossible for me, I think, with all the time. You know, I did originally have a a Google sheet that I was doing in tandem with my CRM. And then I realized that was just overkill. It was just, that was just taking up extra time because it was pretty much a CRM was doing everything that I was doing on my Google sheet. But yeah, a lot of times in the particular one that I have, you can put in templates for what you want to do for your first emails, follow-ups, all that, you know, hi, so-and-so, I reached out to you last week, or, you know, make sure it's relevant to whichever time that you reached out to. I can even actually, if you give me a moment, I'll even just pull it up and let you kind of give you a readout of what it was. It's very, very cut and very simple. It's just, hey, I reached out about my voiceover services. Have you had an opportunity to listen to my demos at my website? Would be great to connect and chat about the possibility of teaming up on a project. Look forward to hearing from you soon. Get really quick, really to the point. You know, at that point, they know, they've heard from me. They know kind of, you know, I gave them my website and all that stuff. I just try not to hammer the point. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, by that point, they know kind of what I'm doing and what, you know, it's, I just try not to overload them, if mm-hmm. that's the right word to use for that, but just making sure that they, you know, I'm still staying front of mind, but staying front of mind without pushing myself away from them.
Not front of mind for the wrong reasons, huh?
Exactly. Yes.
Thank you so much, Jason, for taking time to talk with us about all of this good stuff. There is so much great information in what you told us, and our listeners are going to be able to gain some really great insight about marketing and pay-to-plays and balancing everything, and even a couple of people who you can learn from if you're having trouble with marketing. Next up, we have Terrell.
Hi, Terrell. So you said you've been on some pay-to-play sites. I'd love to know what your experience has been and whether you've explored any other ways to find work.
Well, I did just a few weeks ago get 3 agents, and I've had a few auditions with them, but I haven't had any work yet with it. Most of the auditions that have come through just totally weren't appropriate. I mean, they, you know, wanted like a Haitian male masseuse or something like that from one of them, you know. So I'm like, what? Okay. Why'd you send me that? But, you know, so, and I also signed up recently with Mandy just to see what that was like, you know, and I've got a few decent auditions there too. That, and surprisingly this morning I got a rejection from something I did. So, but at least I got a response, you know. So.
Right.
Well, that's cool. At least you've got a response, even though it was a rejection.
And the way they worded it, I'm sorry to tell you that your submission was not successful. I was like, oh, geez, what a way to word that.
Right? That is kind of, Yeah.
But then they said that, you know, our client, we only sent the client a few, and there were so many auditions. That's the other thing people need to be aware of. This is highly competitive. I think people don't realize that either. They're like, oh, I'll just go out there and I'll do this and people will pay me money. And it is so competitive. You know, it's you against hundreds. And I would think something with Mandy, maybe thousands of people.
You're right. Mandy has about 20,000 or more voiceovers on their register. Not all of them will be active, but nevertheless, there's still a lot of people to compete with.
Yeah.
So from your experience, would you still promote pay-to-play sites as a way to find work?
At this point, I say be picky, you know, which ones. And last year I was with VoiceOver Planet. I got great audition, interesting work, reasonably paid. Now, I didn't get work. I didn't get any work, actually. But I mean, auditions. The auditions were interesting subjects. But everyone I've heard from, nobody's gotten work with VoiceOver Planet. And I'm like, well, okay. I dropped that. You kind of have to, it's just that their clients aren't looking for my mm-hmm. voice, you know. So it's, you know, go where you, I always say, go where you're a goddess.
There you go.
I was not a goddess there with them. So I did not renew with them, you know. And then I'm with Bidalgo, and I'm with Voice 123 at this point. And then now I've got these few agents and they're sending me something. And I signed up with Mandy just to see what it was about, because it wasn't terribly expensive. And it's just, now they tell you not to do this with P2Ps, to don't join the P2P to practice. That being said, it is good practice to see how it all works and everything. And you shouldn't just start with a P2P, get some coaching and have some training before you get in there. But it's a good way to see what the scripts are like, for you to see, just to see how it all works. So I think it's good. You know, need to know how to work it. There's the, what is her name? Natasha Marchewski. She has a great plan and that she helps you with about how to label your stuff on Voice 123 and everything. But and unfortunately, like Voice 123, if you have the free membership, you're not going to get anything. For sure, you know, they're called pay to plays for a reason. You know, you do have to, and it's the people that pay the most that get the auditions first. So like me, and I'm at one of the middle pay rates. I'm not at the very bottom, but I get the dribbles. You know, it's everything, everybody's refused it, and then it gets down to me. So, but by the time it gets to me, they like only want 50 auditions, and there already been 32. Well, I'm probably not going to get listened to if I audition then. That's the other thing. You've got to be on top of it and get in there if you can in the first 20, ideally the first 10, then you're more apt to get listened to at least.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a game. It's a hustle. This business is a hustle and a gamble. It really is.
Yeah.
Now, do you have a website?
I don't have a website.
Oh, so where do you put your voice reels?
I'm on SoundCloud. I have them on SoundCloud. And, you know, so far, you know, like I said, I got three agents and, you know, that's, and you, then you're just putting your demos on those agents' websites, you know, so, but that's where they went to listen to them initially. But it would be a lot better and a lot more professional. And frankly, that's one of the reasons I've been a little hesitant on my self-marketing, because you have to have that to send them to. They don't, just listening to your demos on SoundCloud, you know, they're good demos. So that will look, it'll look good for me, but it's better to have a website. It really.
But it's good that you have found a place to put your voice reels, so people can actually go to that place and listen to your samples.
This is an important point. Get them on SoundCloud. You don't want to send people, say, to your Voice 123
right.
profile, because yeah, they'll start poking around and they'll find other people while they're there.
Yeah.
So you don't want to send them to where other people are. You want to send them to just where you are. You know?
Right.
So yeah. That's why I get the SoundCloud thing. That's a good holding area.
Yeah.
How about social media?
I am not a big social media person, just generally. And it can be such a time suck, you know, frankly.
Oh, yeah.
Some people, I think if you're into animation, that maybe you need to be doing more of that sort of thing. I don't think so much for corporate narration. E-learning through LinkedIn, you know, I think the LinkedIn thing is important. Facebook thing is for fun. Instagram, I know, what is his name? Kissinger, John Kissinger. He's a big LinkedIn person and e-learning person, but he's big on the gram as well. You know, he posts every day on the gram. And if I do it, it's because I think I have to, but I don't really want to.
I know, it's like one of those things that you're like, as soon as I can, I will outsource this.
It's just that now everything's social media now. But you got to do real work sometime too, you know? So.
Yeah. Definitely.
But I think, you know, I would rather spend my time, you know, working on my craft, as opposed to me, that's not so much working on my craft. It's marketing, you know? So,
yep.
Yeah. You know, and I think more direct, except for LinkedIn, more direct self-marketing. If you're limited on time, before you start thinking Facebook and Instagram, think LinkedIn and personal self-marketing.
Yeah, definitely.
The main foci. So.
Those are wise words. Yeah. Right.
Thank you so much, Terrell. I really liked what you had to say about the trial and error kind of thing with the pay-to-plays. Maybe choosing a couple pay-to-plays that you want to work with instead of throwing all of your focus and all of your attention and all of your money at pay-to-plays. And if it doesn't work, drop one and try another. That's a pretty good way to do it, especially for somebody who's on a budget. All right, next up is Dee.
If I do so good with narration for books, I mean, it makes sense that I would do well with those. But truthfully, I just have not found companies that are willing to hire me. I'm on 2 e-learning rosters at the moment, and I did get a call back from, I got a call from a client that had heard my reel that's on the list and wanted me to read, and I read, and it's crickets since then. I turned that around in an hour. They sent it to me. I turned it around in an hour and had it sent out. So I thought, ooh, brownie points. I can do this quick, right? That's one of the things that I say, you know? But yeah, crickets. So, and I sent it to I sent a message to the company that, you know, I'm on the list for. And they said, well, we sent it off to the client. We just haven't heard anything back. And I'm like,
okay. I know. Yeah, you got to develop a thick skin, don't you?
That's the truth.
Well, you mentioned earlier that you are on a few pay-to-plays and that you're doing some direct marketing. But how are you going about finding work in voiceover? Is it just pay-to-plays and that sort of thing? Or what's your process?
Yeah, thank you. I am on several pay-to-plays. As I mentioned, I haven't gotten hired yet. Newbie syndrome, I'm hoping. They're very soul sapping. You mentioned that you got to develop a thick skin, and you really do. And everyone's like, well, the competition is really tough on pay to plays, you know, because everybody's, you know, made their own home, you know, studios and blah, blah, blah. But here's my thought process on that. Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of competition out there, but why can't I be that tough competition?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to be good enough one day that I'm going to be the person that they're talking about.
Right.
That's going to be the tough competition. So just know that you're not getting chosen now, but learn your craft, get better at it, and you will be that tough competition.
Yep.
Some pay to plays that are not as soul sapping as others. I have found Mandy to be good in the aspect that the producers that are on there are willing to give you feedback. Not necessarily to say, you know, hey, your sound sucks or, you know, do this better, whatever, but they're willing to say, hey, I listened to your reel or I listened to your audition. You weren't the right voice for this project. You know, better luck next time. Please audition the next time I put up an audition. I have gotten several of those, even if it's been like weeks later. I've had producers come back and say, I'm sorry this took so long, but I wanted to let you know that, you know, the competition was tough and there wasn't anything wrong with your reel. We just went with a different voice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. I like it. Bodago, they have a system that if the producer chooses you, you get a thumbs up. But they can also leave comments. So I've had producers leave me comments that say, you know, hey, I loved your reel. Nothing wrong with your reel. My client just went with a different voice.
Mm-hmm.
So what that does for me is it says, you know, I wasn't shit. Or
that's okay.
Did I just cuss? I'm sorry. I wasn't crap. I was okay. I just, you know, the client wanted a different sound and I wasn't the sound he was looking for. I'm going to be the sound for somebody.
Sure.
I just wasn't for that client.
Yep. You just have to keep trying. Just have to keep putting yourself out there and mm-hmm. that match will happen.
Thank you so much, Dee. You gave us all a very good reminder that you're going to be up against a lot of competition, particularly on pay-to-plays. And you have to be ready for that. You have to develop a thick skin and you have to know what to take in and what to let roll off. You know, make sure that you're getting extra coaching if you're noticing a pattern that looks like it's negative. But if not, just understand that it could be just somebody's opinion, somebody's idea in their head of what they're looking for. Last but not least, we have Venus.
This is a business. You know, it's a business and, you know, it's 10% voice and 90% marketing in my opinion. So I'd rather take that time instead of auditioning all the time and hoping that something's going to happen, you know, I think it's better to just create something. And when I say that, I mean direct marketing, you know, marketing yourself, cold email and cold calling. Like Mark Scott always says, the best kind of marketing is the marketing that you like to do. You know, it doesn't have to be everything. Getting yourself on LinkedIn, getting yourself on, you know, B2B, like business to business websites, networking, that kind of thing. Yeah, I think just, as I said, just stay in your own lane and you know, and worry about, like, not really worry about, but think about what you can bring to the business. And I think concentrate more on clients. You know, so many VOs just concentrate what other VOs are doing. VOs are not going to get us work. I mean, you might get the odd recommendation, but focus on getting clients, you know, sell to your clients. You don't have to sell to other VOs. You can be nice and supportive, but at the end of the day, they're not going to pay your bills. You know? No.
So well, showing you like the best, like overall, I mean, some people, they really can show a bad side of themselves when they get into arguments, but overall, you're showing your best self on social media. And so it's like, you know, they might be saying, oh, everything is wonderful. And, you know, the sun is shining and whatever. And really on the inside, they're like, I don't know how I'm going to make my next mortgage payment or whatever. Like you can't compare yourself to somebody who could very well be just putting on a show for everyone.
Absolutely. And I think with the state of the VO industry, because it's becoming highly saturated, maybe we're not booking as much as we usually have done. You get one job, you want to show the world that you just did this, you know, and it can get a little maybe, you know, upsetting for VOs who, you know, haven't really reached that goal yet. So I say spend less time on social media, use your time wisely. And I would say the one thing that I've learned, I think the most important thing I've learned to date is to treat this as a business. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of VOs, you know, they sit around all day, they go onto this workshop and this webinar, and before you know it, your day is gone.
Oh, yeah.
Structure your day. I'm waking up every day at 6 to 6:30, make sure I have my little workout, I read, I meditate. Then I make sure that I'm at my desk by, say, 8 o'clock, 8:30. Now I'm following my checklist. I'm commenting on, you know, social media. Okay, next, looking for work on all the different platforms. Next, cold emailing, reaching out to clients, Vimeo, YouTube, whatever it may be. And, you know, my husband is a physician and he's wonderful, but he does a lot of telemedicine now. So he's home early. He's like, oh, honey, I'll be back at 2 a.m. Let's go out for lunch. Let's do this. Let's do that. And like a long time ago, I would be like, yeah, let's do this, you know? And now I'm like, you know what? I'm working till 5 o'clock today. I'm going to treat this like I'm in a real office, that I'm working on my business, and maybe I'll have a little lunch with you for half hour, but I am working on my business. And, you know, even I said to him one night, I want to work late, and late, I mean, 7 o'clock. I mean, I don't, you know, gone are the days that I work till 1 in the morning because I just don't have the brain power. And so I think it's about setting healthy boundaries with yourself. You know, it might seem, I think for a lot of VOs, because we're creative, right? We tend to think a lot with our right brain. It's hard for us to think in a very logical, structured way. But once you start creating those habits where you do the same things kind of every day, your productivity level is going to increase. And therefore, I believe, you know, that equates to getting more work. So I would say to a newbie, schedule your day. Don't be just doing this and that and just on the phone and expect something to happen. It's not going to happen. So I think just, you know, structuring your day is super, super important, and setting out your goals. You know, what do you really want to achieve in the next, you know, six months to a year? I mean, and sometimes we tend to have our head in the clouds and it just doesn't bring us work.
Very yeah. True.
Yeah. That the biggest thing I would say is treat it like a business, and all the very successful VOs do the same. I wouldn't join any other pay-to-play sites. I just wouldn't do it.
That's what I'm noticing myself. I joined a couple of them and I'm just like, you know what? I think most of them are going to go by the wayside and maybe 100%. Just one. Yep.
What other routes have you been exploring in order to find work?
Yeah. So right now, even when I worked in real estate, and I worked in real estate for a while, but part of getting clients is cold calling. I did not like that. I mean, I am just not that kind of person because I know how it feels to get cold called myself, you know, and I just didn't want to be that person. But in terms of direct marketing, cold email campaigns, I have something running right now through my CRM. Actually hired somebody from Upwork to harvest me, you know, emails and get me emails of, you know, production companies and ad agencies and that kind of thing. You know, set it up in your CRM, send out 50 emails a day. I mean, it's kind of like an automation process that I am so into right now. I just love having all my tasks automated. You know, I think social media really is the be all and end all to kind of promotion. I don't play on every social platform. LinkedIn is my go-to. If you're not using LinkedIn to its maximum potential, you are just missing out. I have a checklist that I go by every day, and I learned this from Joshua Alexander. You know, it's a checklist of all the things that you have to do. Sometimes I get to all of them, sometimes I don't. But liking and commenting on LinkedIn gets you serious exposure. I think in the last day or so, I've had like 15 requests, connection requests. Some of them have actually been from production companies. So I think, and it's free, you know, it's free, organic communication, you know, to get yourself clients. I mean, that's pretty much what I'm doing right now. I don't really know. I mean, there's other avenues to go down, but right now I'm kind of focusing on those two things. I mean, even, you know, using your warm leads, you know, using leads of people that you know that might potentially have somebody that they know, especially Facebook. I have a big community on Facebook and I've connected with people there. So I think just letting people know, you know, who you are, what you do, but giving value at the same time. You know, I see a lot of VOs on social media kind of just self-promoting all the time. Like, look at me, look what I did, you know, look how much I made, not naming names. And I don't think that's the way to go. It's not the way to go. You know, people know you're a voiceover artist. I mean, they see your profiles, but just give value. Like when I post things that are inspirational. You know, I'm not always selling myself. And they say that, you know, if you give like 85% of your content is to others to give value, then it's okay for the other 15% to maybe sell yourself once in a while.
Right.
And that's just personally what I believe in. People don't like to be sold to. And I think when you create stories and value and stuff like that, people really get a sense of who you are. And if they like who you are, then they're more likely to buy from you. And that's really the way I see it.
I would agree. I think if you end up selling yourself all the time, you're going to actually like lose followers, or you're going to lose trust where people are like, this can't possibly be true. Or they feel like you're in their face and flaunting, you know, you just end up creating exactly the opposite of what you want.
You're absolutely right. You know, and the VOs are always like, oh, let me be the voice of your this. Let me be the voice. I mean, it's just, it's not original anymore. I think we have to find ways to just be original. And the only way we could do that is show who we are as our authentic selves. So I just see too many VOs just trying to do the same thing and like piggybacking on what everyone else is doing. And you're just literally a tiny little fish in a big ocean. And you really have to stand out in this business, you know, to really get anywhere. You got to do things differently. And I mean, that's what I would say to a newbie is, you know, just take the right steps, you know, and everything else will come after that.
Thanks, Venus. One of the things that I thought was really cool about what you had to say was about how to structure your day, how to treat voiceover as a business, how to set personal boundaries to ensure that you have productivity. You can do all of these wonderful things that you know about auditioning and reaching out and all of that, but if you only do a little bit of it, because you don't structure your day and you don't set yourself boundaries and you don't hold yourself accountable, you're not going to get very far. And with that, we're going to hand it back to Rami.
Thank you, Jessica. So that was another great episode full of fascinating experiences and opinions of our voiceover friends. And we'll look forward to connecting with everyone again next time. Until then, please do remember to share and like this episode. And make sure you join us on our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/voiceovergirlsacrossthepond. See you soon. Take care. Thanks for joining us for the Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast. This is where we would normally shout out to our sponsors.
Rami, we don't have any sponsors yet.
I know, but if we did, this would be the shout out. Hint, hint. Don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast.
And tell all your friends, your family, your neighbors, and everyone else.